G'day, hello again. Thanks for everyone who's contributed on Facebook and Instagram to our recent posts. We put the question out there, just if anyone has any questions, we'll answer them.
There were a lot of questions.
There were heaps, more than we thought. So we're going to do two, maybe three
Episodes of
question and
Q&A.
answer. Yeah. So whether we release them all at once or we kind of drip feed you guys, we'll see. But thank you for your responses. It's cool to actually get people involved
And to
and
contribute.
yeah, because this podcast is for you guys.
Except Paul Foster, mate, shut up.
Paul Foster, what did he say?
What a good way to find new topics for podcasts.
Smart ups. And also shout out to Facebook, Lauren. What's a good running club to join? You know them.
Yeah, all of
All of them. So thanks for everyone. I guess just a reminder for anyone who hasn't, jump on Facebook, Instagram, and follow us there. Give us some love. We do like Instagram stories and stuff, so little bits and bobs and insights into our running lives as well.
No, I think today we're just covering the Instagram questions.
Yeah, anyone who responded on IG.
Yeah, because there was a lot, so we'll just break it down Instagram today, and then the next week we'll do the bulk of the Facebook questions.
Yeah, there we go. So how do you pronounce this?
I think it's
Malt.
multi and hard. I don't know because his Instagram profile says he's in Rotterdam and in
Hanover.
Hanover, so Netherlands, Germany. It doesn't look like a normal Dutch name, so I'm assuming he's German,
Okay.
but that's a rough, hard assumption from one look at his profile.
Cool. You still do better than me at pronouncing it. I'd say multi. Anyway, so he's a he, sorry. Has asked a decent question, which is about doing some cross training in the middle of a run. So if you're running along and you see one of those outdoor gyms, like if you pull over, do some push-ups, dips, chin-ups,
Pull-ups, whatever.
whatever it might be during the middle of the run, is that a good idea or a bad idea? And what's your response? I know my response, but what's your response?
I think our responses will be pretty similar, but it really depends. Like, what are you running for at that point in time? What's the goal of that run? If you are trying to run a tempo session and you're trying to hit whatever minute pace, you probably don't want to interrupt that with some push-ups and some other random stuff. Where if you're going on a long run, you're a bit bored and you just want to break it up and okay, I'll do some push-ups, I'll get a heart pumping, I'll do something intense and then continue running. Sweet, why
100%.
not?
Yeah. It's like I think if anyone asks me any question ever, should they do exercise? It's like, well, it's exercise. Do it. It's going to be good for you. Like we know one of the healthiest things you can possibly do as a human being is resistance training. So if you ask me, is it a good idea to go to a park and do some chin-ups and dips and push-ups? Fuck yeah. It's like the best thing you can do. In the context of a runner training for something, if you've got a marathon in 7 weeks and you're following a training program, every goal should have an intention, right? So like you've got your long run, which you want to do at a certain pace, for a certain distance. So probably don't interrupt that with some push-ups, because what's a push-up going to do for you 7 weeks out from a marathon? Not much.
Ideally, nothing.
And if you're doing a tempo session, probably don't stop and do some sit-ups halfway through. But if you're doing your Tuesday jog where you're just going to jog for 12 kilometers and
Or
it's an
10 or
easy
5 or
pace or
whatever.
whatever, then I got no problem with it. But like, really, just do whatever makes you happy. Like, I mean, it's not going to change the course of training. You're not going to get more or less fit by doing this stuff. But overwhelmingly, yes, do it.
And if it feels horrible after to get back into your run, then do
Yeah,
it.
that's a good point.
If it feels good and you're like, yeah, whatever, that feels good, I really enjoy that, by all means, go for it. So it really depends on what's the intention and goal of that specific run you do it in.
100%.
So like, I've never done it, honestly. I don't stop in the other gym and go, oh.
I've done it a couple of times, but I'm always really upset about it because I'll be running and I'll be like, yeah, hell yeah, I'm 15 Ks into a run and I feel great. Like, I feel like a fit human being. And then you try and do some chin-ups and you do, and then I can only do two. And I'm like, oh, I'll try some push-ups. I'm like, oh, I can only do 10 push-ups. Oh, fuck. I'm just going to stick to
I'm so
running.
unfit.
So then I'm always like, why did I do
That
that?
made me feel bad.
So
Do it.
Sarah McBride has asked about diet and tapering. So should she change her diet when she tapers? Specifically, should she cut out alcohol when she's tapering for a race?
Because her hubby got a bit upset and said, no, you don't want to do anything that crazy.
Yeah, don't give up the alcohol. First of all, we interviewed Rachel, a dietitian, in episode 10.
And we talk about tapering in episode 33.
Yeah, so 10 and 33.
Swing back to those.
Essentially, should you change your diet? Well, like why would you be changing your diet? If that means eating less chocolate, then of course that's a good idea. But if it means, you know, during a taper, drastically switching up the amount of proteins, carbs, and fats, yeah, I think it's probably a dumb idea.
Yeah.
Like, you should just be eating healthy all the time.
Yeah. And should you cut down on alcohol? Like, less alcohol is probably better.
Less alcohol is better. But if you're one of those people who runs so that you can drink heaps of beer, well, you know, you've got to consider that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I, you know, if I'm trying to taper, if I've got a race coming out, I'll certainly, you know, have less chocolate and probably have less beer. But it's like, should you change your diet when you taper? I'd say no. Oh. Just, you should always have a good diet.
Yeah, eat as healthy as you possibly can. And there's some people, there's some chat about, you know, increasing your carbohydrate intake before the race, a couple of days, and have a light-ish meal the day before.
Yeah.
And that's, I agree with that.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't drastically change anything in my diet.
No, not at all.
But again, swing back to episode 10 and Rachel can probably answer this in a better way.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Sarah. Thank you for that. Brooke. So, Brooke, again, this is through Instagram. Thanks, Brooke. Has asked about losing weight and marathon training. And this is a story I'm pretty familiar with, and you would be as well. Having coached quite a bit, I've seen, you know, a lot of patients come through, but I've done, you know, my bit of coaching. A lot of the coaching I've done has been of you know, middle-aged women. And the topic of, you know, weight loss or weight gain whilst training for long-distance running has come up. And I think, again, like, this is something, refer back to Rachel, a sports, you know, dietitian. She has a lot to say on this in episode 10. But my thing is, weight loss is so complicated, so complex. Oh. There's so many factors at play. And it's not just as simple as eat less, run more. Like, that works for some people, but for some people it doesn't work. And we know when you're training for long distance running, yeah, you'll probably go for a run and then you're hungry, so you've got to fuel your body for that. So you've got to put the carbs back in, put the protein back in.
You can't just go for long runs and starve yourself. Because your body will literally eat itself.
Yeah.
And not the fat tissue, but the muscle tissue.
Yeah.
So that's an issue. You lose weight, but not the weight you want to lose.
Yeah. So I think what is it? This I could be wrong with this, but again, Rachel will have more to say on this in episode 10. I think once you get past about 90 minutes worth of consistent exercise, then you tend to have run out of glucose carbs.
Yeah.
So then you start to metabolize fat, and that's when running gets hard. So, like, I don't know, is that?
I think that's sort of true, but that body also is pretty good at adapting to constant, same intensity sort of running. So, like, I reckon if you run for weight loss, then you'll probably have to do some more intense stuff, some more interval training, some hard 400, some hard kilometers.
100%.
Where, like, and that's probably the same if you run for a performance or, like, you want to crack a time. But your entire training approach is different.
Yeah. And I think if you're also doing long runs and, you know, you're building up your distance and you're having some gels and some chews and that sort of thing on the long run, like, you're constantly eating carbs on the long run.
Yeah.
It's probably not a good strategy for weight loss. So I think if someone's trying to do a good long run, perform well, you've got to be consuming carbs while you run, or unless you're ketosis, but that's a completely different topic. So you're not really going to lose weight if you continue shoving carbs in your mouth while you're running. But that's probably the way to perform better.
Yeah. So it's a tough question because it's super individual. And how does your body work? And have you got any underlying medical conditions? And
What's your metabolism like?
Yeah.
You know, how much sleep are you getting? What's your recovery like? How many days a week are you running? Are you stressed at work? Like, these things are actually impact weight loss and your overall health.
Yeah, if you're super stressed, you won't lose weight anywhere near as quickly as when you're super relaxed and you're recovering and sleeping well.
Yeah.
So there's so many factors combined with this weight loss and running thing that is it possible? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you're someone who's trying to lose weight, run. Like, cool, it'll help.
Yeah.
But will training for a marathon equal weight loss? Not necessarily. It's super, super complicated. So you chat to your GP, get a dietitian on board, get a trainer, add in some resistance training too. Mm. We know that high-intensity workouts, we also know that heavy resistance training also are great for weight loss.
Yeah, because increased muscle mass increases your basal metabolic rate,
yeah,
which means your body needs more energy to exist.
Exactly.
Which then you burn more energy by just sitting on a couch and eating chocolate.
Yep. 100%. So, sorry if that doesn't seem helpful, Brooke, but it's super complicated. And get some people on your team in order to talk about. Go to a GP, go to a dietitian, get some baselines and measure it.
This is just our knowledge that's limited in like this sort of area.
Yeah, I don't operate in weight loss.
Mm.
another one, this one's from Soph on Instagram again. Sophie has asked us about sports bras.
And we're clearly the right people to talk to.
I don't wear one.
No.
Like, I don't know. I've never worn a sports bra.
I've worn one once. and you filmed it.
Actually, that's years ago.
Yeah.
That would have been like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, probably about 4 years ago.
So that's when Mike and I both worked at the running shop, Running Science. And we got a new bra in and you decided to model it. And yeah, okay.
Bloody hard to get into. Even harder to get up. I don't know how people do it. Like, mad respect for...
I'll see if we can dig that photo up. Oh, my God.
It's somewhere.
I'm going to have a look.
But, like, what's a good running bra? We'll put it out there and ask women that run.
Yes, 100%. So, girls that run, can you comment on whether it's a brand or a sizing tip or, you know, shape of bra or... any tips to get a good running bra, can you comment below, like on Facebook and
Instagram,
see if we can help out Soph, because we don't know.
We don't know.
But I think with our collective knowledge out there.
Yeah, we can conjure something up.
Top three tips.
I think that the other thing Soph said was, like, especially for women that have bigger breasts, I reckon that will definitely be harder. But, yeah, we'll let you guys answer that question because we have severe lack of knowledge in that area.
Yeah, I mean, like, who run the world?
Girls.
Yeah, so.
Women.
Sophie asked a couple of questions. Sophie's asked how to find good running trails. There's a few ways.
Hmm.
The first one, and this is what I always do, is I go on to, we talked about this recently in when we're talking about running on holidays.
It hasn't been released. Oh, it released last week.
It will have been released. It hasn't been released yet. By the time we release this, it will have been released.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, so that's fine.
So the one where we talked about running on holidays is you go to look up heat maps. So Google heat maps Sydney or heat maps New York or whatever it might be.
Hmm.
And you can see where the popular routes to run are. And you can quite clearly see what's urban, what's trail. So the first thing is Google heat maps. That'll give you some good insights. Other than that, like, literally just Google it. If I type into Google best trail runs near Sydney, there's a million websites pop up. Top 10 trail runs. And so, like, literally just Google exactly that. Depends where you live. I don't actually know where you're from.
So. No, don't know.
Don't know.
The other thing I do is I just try to find bushwalks.
Yeah.
And they're always so runnable.
Yeah.
But it's not specific, oh, this is a running route. But if you have a beautiful bushwalk, fuck it, you can run it.
It's just faster walking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. It's walking at double speed.
Or triple speed. And Sophie's also asked, how do you fix imbalances in your running style? This is why I have a job. This is my job as a physio, is to fix people's imbalances. My question back to you is, like, what is the imbalance and how do you know you actually are imbalanced?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like People always seem to think they're imbalanced. People are like, oh man, my left hip does this and my right hip does that, and I'm twisted here and that feels funny. And then I look at them up on the fancy treadmill and they're like completely symmetrical. I'm like, dude, you're not imbalanced.
You're fine.
You're fine. So first of all, like, is it imbalanced? Has someone told you it's imbalanced, or have you seen or felt that it's imbalanced? That's my first question. Is there an imbalance? The second question is, what is it? If the imbalance is one hip flexor is tight, which means you're kind of twisting more through your mid spine, your thoracic spine, and therefore one shoulder's dipping down, well then stretch that hip flexor if the hip flexor's tight. Or if one imbalance is you're super weak through your calf, then strengthen the calf.
That's if someone has told you or you've seen you're imbalanced, is it bothering you? Is it relevant?
Yeah, is it actually relevant?
Like, oh, you go, oh my God, that actually hurts my knee, or my back, or my hip, or whatever. Or have you been running with this imbalance for the last 10 years and it hasn't bothered you? Why the hell would you fix it?
100%. Google Usain Bolt scoliosis.
Oh, bloody hell.
Usain Bolt's spine is like a question mark.
Mm.
It's literally crooked. So, yeah, you look at him and go, cool, Usain Bolt is imbalanced. Do you think that's affecting his performance?
Probably. What if he had like a perfect straight spine and like...
Would he be worse?
Would he be better? Would he be faster?
So I think people who think they're imbalanced, unless it's like an imbalance is causing pain or an injury, or it's causing some proper discomfort, then like don't stress about it. Just get strong. Do strength.
Because the body is so good at adapting. And even if like we all have some sort of imbalance, but the body goes, cool, I'll just slightly compensate here and here.
Yeah.
And if that doesn't give you any grief, then sweet.
100%.
Perfect.
I fractured my ankle in 2008 in a rugby tackle. And my ankle has always been stiff since. I've got like a 30 or 25%, 30% lack of ankle mobility on my left compared to my right. Now that, statistically speaking, is a big risk factor for running injuries. And I've tried and tried and tried to loosen my ankle and I can't. It's just stiff and stuck because I broke it. But because I have a shitty ankle, what I do is I make sure everything else is really, really strong and functional around it. So I've got really strong calves and feet. And so everything around my ankle is strong and I'm running without any left ankle pain or injury. So I have an imbalance. Have I fixed it? No. But have I dealt with it so that I can tolerate it? Yes. So get strong.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, that felt good to say.
Felt really good to say.
As good as this chai tea feels like it's going down right now.
And then Soph also said, any good tips on foam rolling? Listen to episode 5. We talk about foam rolling and release and stuff like that.
That is the tips.
That is the tips. In a nutshell, it shouldn't be painful. Don't waste time on it. And it doesn't matter what you roll with. It's a piece of foam. You're not making any changes in your tissues.
Yeah.
The end.
Yeah. Yeah, basically. We should do all our podcasts that short. Yeah, sick. Cool. Again, so thanks to everyone who wrote in some comments. If we can, if all the ladies can get around Soph and comment on the Facebook page what your bra tips are, that would be sweet because we don't know. We're going to get to the Facebook questions probably next week.
Yeah, that's a fair few more questions, so we might break that one up, but we'll see how we go and how we get through them.
Love it. Sick.
Sweet as.
All right, we'll chat soon.